Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Monday, February 6th, 2012. I'm Lisa, and our Mouse Chatters today are Bob, Chris, Lauren, and Steve. Welcome, everyone.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, Chris sounds so sad.
Oh, she's a little sick.
A little bit.
A little bit. I'm getting over mine, so it's not going to be 100% Lisa, but I'm getting there.
So between you and Chris, we have 100%.
Perhaps, yes. And unfortunately, we're past the sexy Lisa voice stage because it's no longer raspy.
Sorry. My voice never goes into that stage. I sort of hope it will every time I get a cold, but it really doesn't. So,
I think mine actually does. It's kind of weird and embarrassing, but. Okay, so back to the show. Today we're going to be talking about Epcot. And I almost call it Epcot Center. We're talking about Epcot, and we're going to do lots of favorites about Epcot. We're going to talk about our favorite ride and restaurants and attractions, just different things all about Epcot. So this is the episode for you. Let's get started with our favorite ride. We might as well. We're going to do a little round robin and go through everyone's favorite ride, and I want to start with Steve.
All right, this is the one that I'm sure everyone else has, and it was my favorite ride, and then I think it's Amber's favorite ride, who's six, so it makes it even more enjoyable. But it's Test Track.
Ooh,
I like the ending. Of course, I always wish the ending was longer. And then when you're on it with Amber, she loves the whole thing, so it's fun to go on again and again and again.
That is a favorite of mine. Good choice.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. My girls love that one, too.
Okay.
I agree. I mean, I wish it was longer on the end.
Yeah. And now that it's being redone, hopefully some of the parts in the middle will have a little more thrilling action.
Lauren, favorite ride?
Well, I was kind of torn between two. Shocker.
Imagine that.
I actually, and I know you're all going to make fun of me, but I like Soaring.
It kind of rhymes. Lauren Soren.
Lauren Soren. I just, minus the rip in the screen. And my second favorite is, it's kind of a tie, Test Track.
Okay.
I love Test Track.
Okay.
Chris. I actually have two as well. Just because one of my choices is pretty lame and I don't want to seem like I'm a 90-year-old woman. And so my first choice is Soarin', because I just love that. And my second choice is Living with the Land.
Oh, God.
Oh, I like that.
I love it. It's like you get to go see the plants. You get to ride in a little boat. It's very calm.
I do like that.
Yeah. And it was better when they had actual people instead of the recorded voice. They could give you a little more info.
Yeah.
If you go during the day sometimes, though, you'll actually see people working, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, and the backstage tour is really cool. I did that a long time ago. It was cheap.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it like $10? Yeah, or at least it was.
Yeah, it used to be, when I did it, it was about 10 bucks.
Yeah, it's not that much more than 20 now, so.
Totally worth it if you want like a sneak peek. Yeah, I love that ride because you feel like you're getting a behind-the-scenes look at
Well, and it's like the whole original Epcot where it's educational, edutainment, as opposed to amusement.
And it's cold in there, which is nice, too. You get to sit down, which is also nice.
Double bonus.
It's long.
Yeah, and it's long. I mean, it's great. I mean, on line. A hot day when you're tired, yeah, there's no line. I mean, it's great. It's got
that's
a ton
true.
Of
I
got
to be honest, that is one of my least favorites.
Really?
I remember. There used to be a 45-minute line, I remember, years ago for that thing. Now it's like walk-on.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it doesn't hurt that it's right next to Soarin'.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
so everybody just goes right there. And,
kills time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bob, what's your favorite?
Well, I guess since everybody's naming, two, I kind of am torn as well. My original list is Test Track. I love that. I love especially the ending. I think the ride was getting tired inside with the whole testing and the the testing with anti-lock brakes, testing without anti-lock brakes. So I'm looking forward to a completely different experience when it reopens.
Well, they should have it testing while you're instant messaging and testing while you're not.
Ouch.
There you go. Testing.
That'll be
texting.
In the new version.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but I am looking forward to that. I expect that it's going to be a good ride. It's going to be a great ride again, you know. And then my other favorite, because nobody said it, is Mission Space. And I love the intense side.
See, I've only done the wimpy side, and the wimpy side is so wimpy that it's non-existent. It's like, all right, that was not even worth doing.
I had a panic attack on that ride.
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, if you don't like enclosed spaces, it's probably not the ride for you. And if you don't think you can pull 1G, spinning, it's probably not the ride for you. But
and don't eat right before it.
Yeah.
That'll mess up your day.
There's never any line for it. I mean, I think every time I go, it's like a 5-minute wait for the intense side. So it's generally a walk-on. I think the pre-show is a little long, but the ride itself is really, really cool. I mean, especially the blast-off. I mean, you really feel like you are taking off. And, you know, even astronauts have said that's probably as close as most, you know, people are ever going to get to the actual experience. So, I like that. So, yeah, I've got a couple favorites there.
Okay. I'll go with the crowd and do two. I agree with Bob. My first is Mission Space and the intense side. What is it, orange?
Yeah, I think it's orange.
Yeah. I like that. And this is kind of off the beaten path, but I'm still a huge fan of Kim Possible. I'm going to count that as a ride or an attraction. I'm sneaking it in there.
I think it's popular, still popular enough that, you know, it's spurred on, you know, Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, I mean, and I still see plenty of people doing it. Yeah. So, yeah.
I like it. All right. Okay. The next round, Bob, we're going to reverse it, so be prepared.
Okay.
With the exception of me, I always like going last. snack. Favorite snack in Epcot?
The Grey Goose slushy in France. I realize that it's an alcoholic drink.
If that's what you consider a snack?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. It's the best $9.68 you will ever spend. I mean, it tastes like an orange creamsicle. It's wonderful. I can't ever have more than one because then I get a little silly. But
after one of those?
Yes. I don't handle alcohol well.
I don't either, but I would think you could handle at least, I mean, there's not very much in it, right?
I get loopy. I mean, there's not, but yeah, I really do. I get totally loopy.
See, I would pay to see that, actually.
Well, you may have your opportunity.
For $9.68, Chris.
Yeah, you may have your
chance. Hours of entertainment.
No, I was going to say, you may have a chance next month, you know.
Yay!
I don't know. It's cold. It's refreshing.
It gets Bob drunk.
Yeah, I mean, it makes Epcot more enjoyable. It makes tourists look nicer. You know.
There goes the snort.
But yeah, I mean, the last time I had two of those, I started making out with a plush Duffy the Bear. So,
really?
Yes. That happens, that Bob. Picture. It happens.
Yeah, the picture's on Facebook. So,
well, Duffy kind of asks for it, I think. Yeah. I mean, for one thing, he never wears pants.
Right. I'm blaming him in part. He came on to me, for the record.
He did. He had a come hither look.
But if I have to name a non-alcoholic snack for the people that don't drink, or for the people that aren't, you know, of legal age to drink, I like the Napoleons in France. Those are awesome too. I like France a lot.
All right, let's keep going. Chris?
Okay, my snack is 100% wholesome. And okay, it's got a lot of sugar in it, but, you know, sugar's not bad. Not like alcohol, like Bob's, you know, thing. It's the caramel pecan shortbread in Germany. And the caramel cuca, And I think that's really good. And I used to be a German major, but I can never pronounce that word. So
I wouldn't know any different.
What's caramel kuka? Yeah.
It's the little Werther's shop.
Oh, you like the whole shop.
German,
and
the German pavilion. Have you ever been in there? It smells so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're allowed to name an entire shop.
Well, it's really my favorite snack in there is just that caramel pecan shortbread.
Okay.
It's got the salty shortbread and then the super sweet, but not overly sweet, caramel on top. And then it's got that salty pecans.
I have to stop doing these shows without food.
I know. Well, and then it's really big too, and it's only one snack credit.
And here's another shocker. I've got more than one.
Lauren, go ahead.
My first is very similar to Bob, but in a different country.
Wait. I know this one then. It's a margarita.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. The margarita stand, the Fiesta. It's a mix of strawberry, mango, and lime margarita.
The one in Mexico, right?
Yep.
Oh, that one's good.
It's right outside the Mexican pavilion.
Yep.
And it's the best $10 margarita you can get. and then my second favorite is the chocolate mousse from France.
Oh, that is good too. But it never gets cold enough. I don't know why. It just... I don't know. Every time I've had it, it's like lukewarm.
I actually kind of don't like chocolate when it's cold. You don't taste all the sort of nuances in the chocolate if it's too cold.
Yeah, and mousse is supposed to be that mocha.
Yeah, it's supposed to have like all kinds of different things going on.
I think it needs a better, cooler texture.
Yeah.
I think it lacks in texture.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the issue.
I'm kind of with Bob there. Once it gets in your mouth, it warms up, and then you can experience all the flavor enhancements that it has.
See, I'm actually really picky about chocolate desserts because I think Disney doesn't get them right. So I actually don't recall enjoying that chocolate mousse.
Yum.
Hmm. Okay. Let's see, Lauren, number two. Wait a second.
What about Steve? We forgot Steve.
Yeah, what about me?
Wait, Lauren did two already, right?
So, yep, I did too.
Steve.
Mine is a whole country as well, and everybody's been touching on it, so it's a good choice. Mine is the French Pavilion as well. And second choice would be anything over the Norway.
No.
Yeah, I could take almost anything over there.
You at least have to pick one thing.
I like those things that were the like little fruit cup Danish type.
Oh yeah, they look like a little pie, but they have the fruit and the tart.
The tarts.
Yeah. And then you can go back and sit in the back.
Steve
get a
likes
cappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a
sit in the back, relax.
Yeah, you can go sit in that back area.
Get a loaf of French bread and a beret.
Put your beret on. Yep,
yeah, exactly.
Bottle of wine.
You've been there, Chris. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You can reenact that scene from National Lampoon's European Vacation.
I don't even know which one that is, but I'll have to go watch.
I
think you need to go to Beer Garden for that.
There you go.
I think there was a scene in the Beer Garden too. Oh yeah, I'll have to watch that again.
That was one with Chevy Chase. I know there were a ton of National Lampoon movies, and the kids were always different, which is so annoying.
That always boggled my mind.
Yeah. Like, they don't even, like, it wasn't even close.
It wasn't even like they tried.
Yeah.
Okay,
did you pick a dessert?
Turn.
Yes.
Yeah. It's in Norway, and it's that almond pretzel with the it's like a raisin pretzel. And it has almonds and icing across it. And I just like it. It's very yummy.
I've never had that. I'm going to try that now.
I didn't even know that Norway shop was there until a couple of years ago. And Lisa took me in there. And all the stuff in there was like...
And they have good sandwiches.
Yeah, the sandwiches were like really reasonable.
They have good desserts and they have the coffees in there, the cappuccinos. Who was it? Natalie, Chris, and I went in there. And we shared a few desserts. And... Mm-hmm. Some of them looked better than they were, but I think we all agreed that the pretzel was kind of good.
Yeah, that's the problem, like Chris was saying. A lot of the desserts look really good, but then they're just not great.
Oh, and if I'm going to throw it in there and break all the rules again, I am a huge Napoleon fan, But Bob, the Napoleons that they have in the French Pavilion, are those are made with a cream filling instead of a custard, right?
Yes.
See, I'm a custard fan. My Napoleons need custard.
But you take what you can get. I mean,
that's true. It's still pretty good. I love the flakiness and the layers and the top, and I do like that. I like the Napoleons.
Yeah. Could stuff. I also just sort of interject and say that the rice pudding in Norway is like, it's one of those secret things nobody ever gets. It's very good.
If
you like creamy, delicious vanilla kind of.
And I think you blogged about that. Wasn't it with kind of a reddish color or something?
Yeah, it's really good.
What's the red part?
Strawberries. Nothing exotic.
That sounds good.
Fair enough. Okay, so that goes through snacks. Let's just do a quick one here. I want to know if you had 3 hours to spend in Epcot, would you rather do it in Future World or World Showcase?
That's tough.
Lauren.
That's not fair. Do I have to choose one? Can I say a little bit each?
No, ma'am.
But I'm Switzerland.
Switzerland is not a country in Epcot.
Ah, bummer. If I was going to miss out on something, the rides or the countries. I don't think I could choose.
All right, let me come back to you.
I guess I would do the countries probably.
Okay. Chris?
I would do the countries if I wasn't with my children, but if I was with the children, it would be Future World.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, yeah, good point. You're by yourself.
Then I would do the countries and I would just eat and sit around and watch people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Lauren,
which doesn't sound creepy at all.
I'd have a margarita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob?
I'd have a Grey Goose slushie and make out with Duffy.
So Bob would start in Canada. I would start in Mexico.
You go back behind. Go behind the UK pavilion there. There's never anybody back there.
There you go. Yeah.
I like it back there.
No, I would probably have to do the countries, especially if I was there, you know, between, you know, late September and early November for the food and wine
thing. Yeah, so that was my idea.
Yeah.
If you can go during food and wine, and if Lisa gave me like $50 for one of those little wristlet guest cards.
Okay, wait, let me back up. I'm going to make more stipulations on this. It's not food and wine time.
That's all right. I'll still go there.
It's just
a normal day at Epcot.
I think I'd still do the countries. I mean, there's a lot to do between the shopping. There's still great food choices
over
there.
The culture. Yeah.
There's, you know, I just think there's a lot to see and do.
Oh.
Epcot.
And to be honest, if you're alone and you're doing Epcot, that would be awesome. Just to be able to walk in and out of shops.
As you please.
Do what you want to do. Because I always feel like I'm being rushed when I'm with other people. Like, I can't do it.
That's where I'll go. And I did think of another snack that I really like, and it's kind of lame, but I love the funnel cakes.
Oh, that was my third.
Yeah. I mean, if we're breaking the rules, let's just break the rules.
Well, I mean, they are good, especially if you can find a place where they'll add ice cream to it.
The American Adventure.
Some of them do that. Oh, it's so good. Chocolate ice cream on top of a funnel cake. Yeah. Oh, good stuff.
American Adventure.
I just like the funnel cake, but I can't decide if I like powdered sugar best or if I like a cinnamon sugar. You can get those at the boardwalk too, but we're not talking about that. We're doing Epcot. So let me check that one off. Let's go to a favorite table service, and let's start in the middle with Chris.
Okay, I know this is going to shock everyone, but
Viennapoli.
Yay! I love that place. I love the atmosphere. I love the food, and it's a really good deal.
I like Viennapoli too.
Yeah, we've had a lot of good meals. It's affordable. It's great for a group because you can order a pizza, so it's not extremely,
expensive.
Well,
you can share things too.
And it's
I don't want to share anything there. It almost killed me to have to share those fritters with your young children. But, you know, I did it anyway. They're so good.
Okay. Well, let's just go to Bob. Bob, what's your favorite?
See, I'm torn in Epcot between I'm breaking the rules, I know. between Tutto Italia and Via Napoli. But
you and your Italian.
Right. Hey, my last name's
Angelo. I like Tutto also.
But you know what? Tutto Italia and Via Napoli, and most people don't know this, are run by the same company. So the food is consistent and very good at both of them. And, you know, the service is excellent. I don't like the presentation of the food at Tutto Italia. You know, I think it's kind of lacking, but it doesn't take away from the flavor. And I'm hoping that the remodel kind of tones down the way the restaurant looks, because right now it's very, very tacky inside. Yeah. So hopefully that does change.
I agree. I know that's shocking. I don't usually say those words when Bob speaks.
Yeah. All right, Lauren, you're up.
My number one was also Tutto. Oh. And then my second up was Teppanito.
Okay.
I love hibachi, though. So that would probably be my second one.
You know, I am always afraid that I'm going to accidentally stick my hands on the grill.
You know, you have to be a big moron to do that.
Even my kids when they were three didn't do that.
I know. And I mean, they put it far enough away and stuff, but I'm so afraid I'm going to get distracted and, like, you know, lean over or something. And
you won't.
You know what it is? It's that scene from one of the Police Academy movies where he puts the goldfish bowl on the hibachi and cooks the goldfish accidentally.
You remember the strangest things, Bob.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, the aliens took memories that that were important and, left the ones.
This is what they left you with.
Yes. There's giant gaps, it's like Swiss cheese.
But, you know, the sake is really good in Teppanito, too.
See, I can't get into sake.
Ah, sake's good.
I know. Can't get into sake. But I do love...
Well, again, if he ate...
Just for the record,
drinks...
I am not an alcoholic.
Noted.
The thing is, all Bob would need is two shots of that sake, and he'd put his hand right on the grill.
He would, you're right.
Deliberately.
Actually.
He'd just be like, I can do it.
It's like walking over coals for him.
You know, watch it. I bet I can hold it here for 10 seconds.
So we're supposed to eat there in March, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to eat there in March. I won't be
there.
Yeah,
Bob's blowing us off.
Bob's I'll not going. You know, he's afraid Bob. Of the grill.
Yeah.
That's totally it.
Okay. So we had Steve.
We had a really good dinner at Le Cellier, so I'm picking that one as the top dining. We've had good dinners at a lot of the countries, but the Le Cellier dinner was really nice. And at the time, we did it on the dining plan, so it didn't hurt as much.
And it was still one credit.
Yeah, and it was also still one credit, so it made it even better. And then we had the fillets, and the fillets were really good. The service was great. It's got a nice atmosphere, beer cheese soup.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I forget what we had for dessert.
I don't remember.
We had so many desserts when you're on the dining plan.
Yeah. They all just kind of become one big sugar blurb.
But yeah, the meal there was really good.
I agree. I liked it. I'm going to go with, Bistro de Paris.
Ah.
I have yet to eat there.
You know, it's a pretty penny, but it's very good. I do enjoy it. Just good food, cool French atmosphere. I like it. Has anyone else been there?
No.
I've been there. That's the place upstairs, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don and I have eaten there. It is very nice, and the servers were all very good, and the food was tasty. I would eat there again. Yeah.
You know what's funny is both Bistro and Chefs, I always feel like I'm at a fancy restaurant. I feel like I'm underdressed and that I have to mind my manners. And I don't feel that way in any of the other restaurants.
Maybe because it's France?
I don't know.
Maybe you don't want to offend anybody.
I guess. You know, don't want to uphold the American reputation or something. I don't know.
It wasn't very crowded when we were there either. And I want to say it was like August during free dining, so it should have been packed. But it really wasn't. I don't know what the story was there, but it was a good meal. I would definitely eat there again.
Let's just go over to quick service. I'm going to start Let's do Lauren.
Oh, you always start me with the hard ones.
Don't mean to.
I know. You know, I have to be honest with you. I have not eaten a counter service meal at Epcot since Viennapoli opened.
You know what? I bet that's true.
I eat in Viennapoli for lunch now when I'm there. But if I had to eat a counter service, I'd probably just go to the Electric Umbrella. Chicken fingers, burgers, that stuff.
Okay.
They have some good options for the kids, too, because they have, like, grilled chicken wraps for the kids, which is nice.
Nice little alternative.
Yes.
Okay. But
my first choice is Viennapoli. That's my counter service in Epcot.
You know, I'm kind of with you on that. I haven't done it in a while, but I do like to go to something, you know, like in the American Pavilion, if it's Liberty Inn or something, just to grab a burger. I like it. It's a nice big place, air conditioned. And, you know, that's a good place for me to go. I'm good with that. But I do also, I've got to throw in another one and say La Cantina.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you get to eat outside.
Well, or you could go inside.
Yeah, and that's true, too.
Yeah, I like the look of it. I wasn't crazy about the food there, though.
I was good with it. Yeah, I really was. I was good with it. So, yeah, I'm done. There you go. I've spoken my piece. Let's go to Steve.
The Sunshine Seasons over at the Land.
Bravo.
Yeah, there's a lot of options, and it's down below, lots of places to sit, and you've got pretty much, it's like a mall food court.
It's a food court.
Yeah, you've got some healthy choices, you got desserts and all the cupcakes and cakes and pastries and all kinds of sandwiches, all kinds of good stuff.
Bob, favorite quick service.
I agree with Steve. Sunshine Seasons. I will actually make a point, even from if I'm in World Showcase, going back to the Land, because, you know, it's not just one place. It's a variety of choices that you can get there. And, you know, the food tends to be fresh and good tasting. And, you know, plus you're right there by Living with the Land and by Soarin'. So it's great.
I do like that place, too. Mm-hmm. And Chris?
Well, after I get done with Living with the Land, I like to go over to Sunshine Season and get myself a nice tapioca.
You and your pudding.
I'm lying. I'm just saying because I'm an old lady because, okay, that wasn't really funny.
I was like, you like tapioca? Because Donna likes tapioca. And it's,
I love tapioca.
Like, it's like lumpy pudding. I
don't think they have tapioca over there. I was
going to look for it next time.
Yeah, no, I've never had tapioca pudding, but it just seemed like something someone who, you know, loves Living with the Land would, you know, grab her walker and then head over to Sunshine Season
you
and get
totally
a tapioca.
You totally just dissed me because I love tapioca.
Oh, I'm sorry. Really?
I make it from scratch.
Do you have a walker?
Do you really? Do you use the big kind or the little kind?
I like the little kind.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to the big kind.
The fact that you actually know that there's a big kind or a little kind, Chris, actually scares me.
Well, that's because I like to cook, and you can use it in a lot of different things. It's just I don't really like
what else can you use it?
I don't know, like to thicken certain things. And, of course, the bubble tea.
Yes.
Oh, those are so good.
Yeah, Steve loves
that.
Oh,
gosh. See,
bubble tea.
What is that? Those are
bubble tea. They're like these little teas, and they have like these little bubble balls or something.
The little gelatin balls.
Gelatin
balls. Yeah, they're made out of tapioca.
Oh, God. I see them. There's a part of Orlando that people affectionately people refer to as Little Saigon because it's all like, you know, Vietnamese and you know, and you see people drinking bubble tea everywhere when you drive downtown towards, you know, through this section. There's also a store there where you can get CDs, DVDs, and fresh fish. So
that's kind of weird.
Actually, there's really good food in Little Saigon, too. I mean, they have good food there. If you like Vietnamese food.
Yeah, I don't care for it, but, you know. But, yeah, the bubble teas, I could never get into them. They just don't look appealing to me at all. But, I mean, you know, if I'm going to drink like a a tea. I don't want it to be chewy, you know. It's like lumpy mashed potatoes, you know.
I love lumpy mashed potatoes.
Oh, so you'd love bubble tea then, because you get this straw that's like as big as your thumb, and then as you're drinking it, then the bubbles come up the straw.
So you got to
be ready for them, and they're like dark black, and they come shooting up, and then you got to chew them.
They look like fish eggs.
Yeah, they look like giant fish eggs, and they come sliding up the straw.
It's a strange concept, really. You know, who was the first person who thought of it?
It's like a tea smoothie.
I was going to say,
it's not a good drink.
When I was looking at them, I'm like, you know, where are these people getting these milkshakes that are like green and red and like orange and like, but no, it's bubble tea. But
Steve got on such a bubble tea kick.
I've never heard of it.
We found a local place that sells the supplies for it. So we got some supplies. We ended up getting like a gross of those straws because, of course, that's how they sell them. So we have all these straws that are, you know.
Yeah, if anybody needs a bubble tea straw.
Yeah, let us know. We have them in all kinds of colors.
The
powder and the bubbly fish eggs. And we made a couple batches, and they weren't the same. And so it just, like many of his little fads, went by the wayside, and then we're stuck with all this stuff. He does that.
You've got like 100,000 straws.
We got 100,000 straws.
I still have them. If anyone would like some, let me know.
But
you could use them for craft projects.
You know what? I thought of that. And you know what else you can use them for? You're going to say this is ridiculous.
You can make some really big paper wads.
No. What you do is, like, if you're going on a trip or something and you, like on a cruise where you might want some jewelry, what you can do is put your necklace through the straw and then connect it, and you can cut the straw accordingly, but then your necklace won't get tangled.
Okay, yeah, that's see, a great idea. I just have a feeling.
Chris,
you know that you're going to be seeing these straws come March.
Can't wait. You know what? Yeah,
we'll bring a straw for every woman on the cruise.
She can feel like she's got her money's worth out of the straws instead of, you know, Steve getting this strange fetish for bubble tea and demanding, you know, this entire setup.
It's definitely an acquired taste. I'm sure there are lots of people out there that like bubble tea.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just the appearance of it. I can't do it. I cannot have like lumpy things in my drink. That's not
good to know.
And let me just point out that I'm going to go ahead and take all my straws, and I'm going to put some necklaces through there, and I'm going to go to a craft fair, and I'm going to sell them for $6 a piece. Let's just see who's laughing then.
I'll still be laughing.
I know. I know you will. Yeah.
Can I actually add one other thing?
Yeah.
My first choice would actually be the German Pavilion, the little sausage stand. But the bread there's terrible. And if you're going to have a wurst, you need some decent bread. So.
Okay.
So you bring your own
bread.
And
they need better mustard. I mean, come on.
That's just plain.
Yeah.
So bring your own bread and your own
little
mustard.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's kind of sad, but until like the last time I was in Epcot, like a month ago, I didn't even know there was a sausage stand in there.
It is.
Yeah.
It's kind of subtle.
It is very, very subtle. I mean, I used to go through the shops and things. I never even knew until I saw all these people eating sausage and was like, what is the deal with this? But yeah, there is a sausage stand.
What we're going to hit next is pretty generic. I just want to know your favorite country. And I'm going to start with Steve.
Morocco.
Really?
Just
because you can go in there and you can kind of get immersed in it.
It's
you really
the belly
can.
Dancers.
Yeah, and that too. But yeah, but you can go in there and you can just kind of get lost in there. And you're like, you know, some of the other countries, you can't get deep enough into them for the theming. You can, I guess. UK is probably my second choice because you can kind of get back in there and there's some neat shops. You can get a beer. But Morocco, you can kind of get all the way in there. But for food, it's my least favorite.
Okay, I'm going to put a twist on this. I want to know your favorite country as far as feeling like you're actually there. So I like Steve's little spin. But then I want to know your least favorite as far as feeling like you're there.
Cool.
No, I've got a good one.
Yeah, one.
Well, I don't know. We've never been to the real country, so it's hard to know.
Oh, I have one.
Okay, but what makes you feel like you're in Epcot and what makes you feel like you're in the country? I don't know.
Well, for me, the one you can't get into enough is Italy, because it's just like a big open square. So you're kind of like, if you're looking out, you're still, you know, you're seeing the big ball and everything else. You just can't get in there enough.
Okay. Lauren, favorite and least favorite?
My favorite is, for theming, is France. I like the ambiance. I like the little street that goes kind of into the back and the little wine store on the side. And of course, I have a second favorite, which is Mexico. I love when you walk in there. It just feels like you're in a whole nother world when you walk in there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they have the margaritas, so I had to put that in there. My least, I think Norway. I think Norway is kind of small. It doesn't really do much for me.
Yeah, it's true. Norway is kind of small because they have the ride.
Okay. Bob?
I guess for theming, I disagree with Steve. I like Italy. But then I've been to various places in Italy, and you know, I think they capture the authenticness very well. When you're looking, when you're actually looking at the buildings themselves, I think they're very authentic. I do agree that if you turn around, you kind of lose that, but that could be said for any of the countries, I suppose, because the lagoon is so big that as soon as you turn around, you know, you're looking
out
at
the
world. Least favorite? Probably the American Pavilion.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
They have Voices of Liberty, which are phenomenal. I mean, but that's like their only saving grace. I mean, their food cart is ridiculous. I think we've covered this. I mean, even during the Food and Wine Festival, it looks like something out of Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving.
What's wrong with the turkey legs?
Well, come on. I mean, like, every other country is offering like authentic, you know, cuisine, and we're offering like toast and jelly beans and like cookies. Yeah, it's like, you know, but there's nothing to, I mean, there's no, I don't know, there's no theme to it, I guess. I mean, like, you know, there's, with so many landmarks across the U.S. that they could have chosen from, it's just like a building, you know, and there are great, you know, things inside. I mean, if you look around at the authentic artifacts that they have inside the America Pavilion, those are really very nice. And then you catch the Voices of Liberty. But nobody sticks around for the show either, you know. Nobody wants to see that half-hour show. So,
although I do have to say that the Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus during the holidays is probably the prettiest ones I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The theme is done very well in many countries and seems to fall apart in America, which is...
And it's the center.
Right, which, you know, I don't get it, but...
Okay, I think my favorite is probably China. I don't like the food at all, but I just sort of like all the colors and the theming. I think it's really pretty. I like that little garden area. And the museum sort of area is pretty. As far as my least favorite, it would have to be Germany, because I think forced perspective doesn't work very well there. I think the little buildings look kind of tiny and chintzy, and it looks sort of like what like a little tiny small town German restaurant would look like, complete with cheap plastic flowers up in the balcony area. It's just not. I don't know. It just doesn't look good. I mean, there's a certain charm to it, but overall, it doesn't work.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with, interestingly enough, China's coming in as my worst, because I'm just a little disappointed in the megastore. I wish there was more culture to see or something, but I'm just disappointed in the megastore. And I might have to go with France for one of my favorites. I do agree with Steve that Morocco, you do get lost in there. You become a part of Morocco. So
you gotta wonder, though, that was one of the last ones they built. Don't you gotta wonder if they just got better at it by then?
Well, also, I'm sorry, Bob. I remember hearing that the king of Morocco? He was involved in the planning, and he was very, very dedicated to representing his country well. So he did help with the plans. And so, yeah, he took a lot of pride in it. Sorry, Bob, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, and it is very expansive, but I wonder how many people even realize how big it is. You know, that it goes all the way back, you know, that take the
store
time.
Store and
yeah, I mean, I don't know. If, you know, people see the belly dances, they see the restaurant, and I wonder if they stop and don't realize that there's more stores. You
Same
know,
with France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beyond that, too, Morocco, I don't know, is never very crowded. So it's actually easy to navigate and take a look around and kind of be more absorbed. I mean, you know, some of these other stores, France gets very, very crowded, you know, trying to navigate back there. I mean, people are coming out with their pastries and their baked goods, and they've got their slushies, and they're coming out of the restaurants, and it's all spilling out into the street. And, you know, or, you know, the stores in China and Japan, you know, they get packed with people, and it's hard to navigate, and you just want to get out of there after a while. You know, whereas Morocco doesn't seem to attract very many people. You know,
Can I just say something? We haven't really talked about this one, but I sort of like the cheesiness of the Mexican pavilion. It's kind of, you know, when you get into that sort of outdoor piazza or whatever it's supposed to be area. I guess it's not a piazza because it's not Italian. Whatever they do in Mexico, that sort of outdoor market area. I mean, it's so cute.
That's what I love that. Yeah, that's up there for me. I agree.
All right, my next one. We're going to go into – I hit everyone. Yes. My next one is going to be the country's entertainment. What's your favorite country's entertainment? And I think I'm looking more for live entertainment, like the Chinese acrobats or something along those lines. So do you guys know what I'm asking on this?
Yep.
Okay. So, Lauren –
I actually can answer this one.
Okay.
I actually do like the Chinese acrobats. And I also like the guy that stacks the chairs in France.
Oh, he scares me.
It's so cool to watch.
He makes knots in my stomach.
But the acrobats are pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Okay. Chris.
Okay. So for me, I actually prefer the janitor guys, the little drum guys in Future World. I think they're really fun.
I like them.
Although they're a bit loud.
I like them. I agree. Okay, Bob.
I got to go back to Voices of Liberty. You know, I just think that they are excellent performers. And you know, they are – I think they're the only a cappella group left in Disney World now that – Four for a Dollar's gone, but you know they're a great show. It's only about 15 minutes long, and they do it a few times every day. And then they also sing in the candlelight processional during the holidays. I just enjoy listening to them, seeing them interact with the crowd, seeing them how they draw in people, and I just love how they sound in that, you know, underneath that huge dome. So I always make a point of trying to catch at least one show per day.
Yeah, they're good. Mm-hmm. Chris, Bob, Steve.
I think you already said it, Lisa, but for street entertainment, it's the Chinese acrobats. And I think Lauren said that as well. It's just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, well, they're amazing. I really enjoy watching the acrobats, of course, but I like watching that statue dude in Italy. I don't know why. He just stands there and he, like, makes a move every 2 minutes, but I like him. Oh, and then they also have that little play they do in Italy. They go up on that stage area and they drag some people in from the crowd.
Yeah, that's cute. They do that in England, too, don't they?
But those are the kind of things that I think it's important to stop and smell the roses, so to speak, and watch them because they're good. And they do have scheduled times. You can check the times guide and find out when any of these countries are offering a live show. And I wonder who we missed. What does Norway do? Anything?
I don't think I've ever seen anything in Norway.
I don't think I've ever seen anything in Norway.
I don't think so either.
Chopping
There's
wood
lazy Norwegians.
Mexico's got the mariachi. Norway, I don't know. China, acrobats. Germany, do they have an Oompa band that comes out?
Well, they have the entertainment on this inside, don't
right,
they?
Right, but I don't think they have anything that comes out for street entertainment.
Maybe they invade another country. Once a day, they pick a country to invade.
They just walk next door.
Yeah. There you go, yeah.
See who's there. Oh, France. They could invade France every day at 4 o'clock.
Just take their pastries.
Yeah. Morocco, they've got belly dancers.
Yeah. Yeah, so most countries have something, but some
What
have.
Does Canada have?
They have the guys in the kilts, the band.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they had that guy who crushed beer cans up against his head.
That was me.
No, that's Rich. Oh, okay. That's my husband.
I'm just trying to alienate everybody.
Oh, no, wait.
First
he was
I insulted the
there.
Germans.
They wouldn't
now
serve
I'm insulted.
Him there.
Yeah, I'm going to insult the Canadians. Who's next?
After I put my hot hand on the hibachi, I crushed beer cans with my head.
Nice.
Yeah. Made for a full afternoon. It was good.
Wow. Impressive. Speaking of impressive, we're going to end our main topic for today, and we're going to move on to some listener questions and comments. And some of these were pretty impressive. So, Bob, do you have one that you can start us with from...
He writes, Dear MouseChat.net, I really enjoyed your recent episode regarding the best restaurants at Walt Disney World. My question is about snacks. Everyone loves to grab a good snack between meals to keep you going. Could each of you share with us what your one favorite tastiest snack is at Walt Disney World, and where do you usually purchase it? Please note that the snack does not have to be a sweet, and calories should not be an issue with your selection. Thanks again for your fine podcast, your favorite shareholder fan, Matt. And then he kindly writes, signs off with P.S. I hope Bob is enjoying Lauren's new CD. Funny, Matt. Very, very,
Matt,
very...
it's the gift that keeps on giving.
And giving and giving.
Yeah. So great.
Okay. So someone, I guess this opens it up to the entire property, favorite snack.
Well, I mean, since I read it, I guess I'll jump in.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm kind of torn because I know one of them, I think at least one other person is going to say. I really like the carrot cake cookie that you can get at Hollywood Studios. And it's basically two soft, giant carrot cake cookies with a cream cheese filling in the middle. And you can get it at the Writer Stop, and you can get it at the bakery there on Hollywood Boulevard as well. It is on, the dining plan. It's a snack credit. But if you're paying out of pocket, I want to say it's about $3.95 or so. It's just soft. It's moist. It's flavorful. It is awesome. Great snack. And you can pair that with, a cappuccino or a cup of coffee or something. It's terrific. The other thing I've recently started really enjoying are, the little, chocolate-covered turtles with caramel, basically the pecans covered in caramel and chocolate. Again, it's a snack on the dining plan, or about $3.95 or so, maybe a little less. I don't know. It's just, the chocolate's really good. The caramel's awesome. It's filling. I usually don't even finish it all at one time. Just something to nosh on. I know I could find that at Hollywood Studios, but I think you can get that at pretty much, any candy shop or bakery at throughout Walt Disney World as well.
There's lots of things to choose from, so I'm going to have to think about it and let someone else answer. Can I put you on the spot, Lauren?
Sure. I like – my favorite thing, and I like it in any of the parks, is always the Mickey bar, the chocolate-covered ice cream. Yeah, that's my favorite all around. It's something I always have to get. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, did you know that you're going to be able to get as many of those as you want on the cruise ship?
Am I?
Uh-huh. You just have to ask, yeah.
Oh my God.
You're not going to find it on a menu. Well, I can't say because I don't know what the fantasy is going to have, but they are available for the asking.
I need to lose 10 pounds before I go so I can gain 10 pounds back.
All in ice cream. Okay, go ahead.
My second favorite is the beignets in French Quarter.
Oh, I do love a good beignet.
They're so good.
I had some at Disneyland, at Downtown Disney.
Oh, we did too.
Oh, God, they're so good. They're hot and fresh. Oh,
mm-hmm. Oh, and the powdered sugar was everywhere. Oh, Amber was a mess.
Oh, it was so good. Oh, I love a good beignet. Now I want beignets. Thank you.
No problem. Chris. Only two. I'm good.
I'm going to go to Chris now. Only two.
Mine's actually kind of lame. I love the cheese danishes. They sell pretty much everywhere.
Oh, like boardwalk?
Yeah, they're kind of lame. But if I had to choose, I'm going to go with, you know, like something a little more adventurous or interesting. I'd go with the carrot cake cookie that Bob mentioned.
Yeah, that is good too. Gosh, I thought of two more snacks that I really like.
Oh, come on. Let's just do them. What?
Well, okay. The little fried donut holes that you can get at the water parks.
Oh, those are good.
Those are really, really good. And Blizzard I think you can get like, yeah, and I think Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon. And I think you can get like dipping sauces for them too. But they're usually hot and you can get them with like, I think they dip them in like powdered sugar or just sugar, and they're fantastic. So that's really good too. And then the it's like a cream cheese brownie from the Boardwalk Bakery. That's fantastic too. That is out of this world.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that is out of this world. Really good, but you can only find it at the Boardwalk Bakery, to my knowledge. I've never seen it anywhere else.
Yeah, correct us if you know otherwise.
Yeah. Because if I can get that someplace else, I'm going to eat that.
I think I'm going to be pretty generic, too. I haven't found it since they took the cart away from in front of Pinocchio's Village House. There used to be a Stromboli cart, and next to that was a pretzel cart. And they had plain pretzels, and they had cinnamon pretzels. And I don't know where those cinnamon pretzels went. But if anyone knows where to find those, let me know. I'll be all about that.
Pretzels. I see a pattern with you in pretzels.
Perhaps. It's on this, it's the cinnamon. But I'm trying to think what else would be my favorite snack. When we go to the ice cream carts, I do like those ice cream sandwiches with the cookies and cream.
Oh, those are good too, yeah.
Those are good. And I like them because they're really rock hard and solid, and so they take me a while to eat them.
Hmm.
So... I'll blame that on some medication, too. Does that work this episode only?
I totally buy it.
Okay. And then, Steve, favorite snack park-wide or property-wide?
Do you like that? Do you like how I did that?
That was good.
those nuts.
No,
those are my favorite. The like the pecans that are all like tossed up in that
cinnamony.
Yeah,
and glazed.
Oh,
you know what I thought you would say?
What?
Dole Whip.
Dole Whip's good, but it's not as good as those nuts.
You are a nut guy.
Like the pecans or the almonds, they're nice and hot,
and they smell.
And they smell so good. They're usually over in Fantasyland against the wall. When they get rid of the wall, I'm not going to know where they're going to be. I'm going to have to find them again, but that's where they've
been.
We're
going to need listener help finding all these snacks.
Oh, those are so good.
There's got to be more, though. I'm trying to think what else.
My son and I had those. I think we got some in, like, Hollywood Studios.
No, they're not
time.
Unique to, you know, like,
right,
you get them almost anywhere. But
they're still good.
Yeah. The popcorn's good. But that's not unique.
Oh, the popcorn
either.
Is good.
Yep.
I mean, they've got lots of good things. You know, you walk into one of those candy shops and the chocolate that they have, the bark, the coffee
good.
Bark, and the turtles like Bob was mentioning, or turtle-esque type things.
What about the fruit? What about the fruit in Liberty Square?
The fruit in Liberty Square. Well, what in the world? Do you give like healthy snacks to kids during Halloween?
Did we not stop at the fruit cart on Main Street? We stopped at the fruit cart, and we all got a piece of fruit. And we got the dried apples, the dehydrated apples, for later.
You have to do something to counteract the garbage you're eating.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, let's think of the bakery. They do have good ice cream sundaes.
Oh, any ice cream, yeah.
And for anybody that's going in the between now and sometime in March, the ice cream shop on Main Street is closed for refurbishment.
And you just walk into that place and it smells so good.
Yeah. So
they definitely get you on all your senses. And no one mentioned the cupcakes. I'm sorry, the cupcakes are really good.
It depends for me with the cupcakes there.
Yeah, I mean, like we've talked about, you don't like a whole mouthful of sugar, but I think some of them are good. I remember my brother brought home, you know, he was stopping by our house on his way back up north from his trip to Disney World, and each of the kids got a cupcake, and they didn't finish them. And so I had to finish them. They left the house, and there was one that was chocolate with some very creamy, smooth vanilla icing. It was so good. I really liked it. But I'll have to find another one of those. But they don't know I ate them yet. Okay, well, that is Matt's question. Thank you, Matt, for your question on snacks. We're going to go to our next one. Lauren's going to tell us about Mike on Main Street.
This one is from Adam from Massachusetts. I heard you mention Michael on the How to Save Money at WDW podcast, and I knew that I had to regale you with a funny story about him. I was a college programmer in 2003 and 2006 working at the Haunted Mansion and the Jungle Cruise. After working for the company for a month or so, I decided to head to the barbershop on Main Street in the late afternoon. I knew about people getting pixie dust after their haircut, and I really didn't feel like getting my head painted green. Michael prides himself on instantly recognizing cast members the second they walk in the door, and I was no exception. It was around 3 or 4 p.m., and I told him that I didn't want pixie dust because I had to work right after the haircut. It was a little white lie that I thought would do no harm, and I figured he would understand. The shortest shift Disney gives out is 6 hours, and the park closed at 8 that night. Politely, Michael said, "Going into work so soon? A 4-hour shift?" I knew I was busted, but thankfully he didn't splatter my head with a different color. He said he wasn't that cruel, and he would have understood. He even remembered the event 3 years later when I did my second college program. During the second haircut, I noticed him looking closely at my hair, clearly noticing the gray hairs I had as a 19-year-old. I said, "Don't worry, I know they're there." Michael is a great guy, and I suggest everyone to stop by Main Street to get a trim. He is clearly appreciated, as I have seen him in many publicity photos from the barbershop. Keep up the good work on the podcast, as it keeps me updated on what is going on in my home away from home. Adam T.
Yay.
Mike seems like a good guy.
Oh, Mike is awesome. He really is. He's a very busy man, and when you make your reservation, you can't ask for him, but when you get there, you can. You say, because you're going to have to wait. You can just say, "I'd like to wait for Mike."
I've got to get a haircut there one day. You know, maybe when I move back to Orlando, I'll make a habit of getting haircuts done there.
You know what? I think he goes by Michael. Doesn't he go by Michael?
Michael, probably Michael.
Yeah, I think he does go by Michael. Mike doesn't sound right.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry, Michael.
Oh no, I wrote down Mike and that.
No, he did call him Michael too. He did call him Michael in the letter. So it is Michael. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in with one, and mine is, it's also from Matt. This is the same as the food question, Matt, and Matt's going to write, he was so nice, "Dear MouseChat.net, I'm not only your biggest shareholder fan, but I am also a podcast host myself. I'm one of three hosts of the S'mores Radio Show, a weekly podcast about American Idol. This past week was our opening show, and I took the liberty of mentioning your podcast on our show. I really do enjoy your podcast and felt compelled to share it with our listeners. If you would like to hear the clip, you can visit www.s'moresradioshow.com. The show is in the January 30th, 2012 edition. The mention of your show comes in at the 8-minute, 50-second mark."
Incidentally, no, 18 minutes.
What did I say?
50 second. You said 8 minute.
Yeah, 18 minute, 50-second mark. Sorry. Incidentally, the podcast is also available on iTunes. He says he doesn't want a plug in return, but we'll give him one. I guess we just did. Go ahead and give a listen to his show. It's s'moresradioshow.com. And he says he just wants us to know how much he enjoys our podcast. Thanks, Matt. And I listened to this, and it's about a 2-minute little blurb about us. And Bob, you said his show's been on for 7 years?
7 years. I was listening to some of his show after that, because I was hoping something called the S'mores Radio Show was about desserts.
Very deceiving.
Very deceiving. But it's all American Idol. I mean, if you're an American Idol fan, they've got the scoop, on everything American Idol.
And they're saying what you're thinking.
I
have to listen to that one.
And he made a comment. I mean, he and he's got a couple of co-hosts, but they made a comment that they'd been doing the show for 7 years. And that is a long time to keep up with a regular podcast.
Yeah.
So
it's tiring.
Yeah. I mean, hats off to them and kudos to them because they opened the show playing music from The Lion King, which is cool. Which I love.
They have a good opening.
Yeah. So it is a good show. Give a listen. And I do agree with you, Lisa. His mention of us was really very, very nice.
Very flattering.
Yeah. You know,
well, and he said that he'd never done a shout out to another podcast on his show. And so in 7 years, we're the first podcast that he shouted out to. So cool. It just makes me tingle. I like it. All right, we have, let's see, Bob, you've got something from Adam?
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm guessing this is the same Adam, but it could be a different one. I'm sure there's more than one Adam in Massachusetts. This Adam in Massachusetts says, when Len was recently on the podcast, which I absolutely love, by the way, he made a small mistake, probably better to call it a half-truth. The flick cards, the red or white cards the greeter gives you at the beginning of the line, may be delayed, but they give them out so frequently, as in once every 1 to 2 minutes, it is more updated than he made it appear. It may not be perfect, but it isn't as he made it appear. I don't want to put him down, as he's very knowledgeable, but it was just something deceiving. Love the show. Keep it up. Signed, Adam from Massachusetts. So yeah, that was something Len was talking about, how their lines program works, and one of the faults with the flick cards is it doesn't reflect accurate times. And I guess what Adam is saying is it's not a perfect system, but it's better than, I guess, the way they made it sound. So
yeah, because I was under the impression that maybe they only give them out maybe once an hour. But if they're giving them out at, you know, shorter intervals, then they can figure out the lag time.
Exactly, yeah. They can get a better idea. But yeah, it's hard to know how often they're giving them out, because obviously if they give one to you and wait, you know, 3 minutes and give one to people 50 back from you, yeah, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
So, makes sense.
And I've got another Adam. I actually got a phone call from this Adam. He is from Connecticut. And he complimented our show and says that he has listened to all of our episodes, which is very nice. It's flattering. You guys listen to us. Go figure. And he has a suggestion for an upcoming Mouse Chat show or topic or, you know, little segment. And he wants to know about our favorite event. And this, I guess we were doing a show and we talked about unknown things or things that are underrated or something along those lines. And we talked about the Richard Petty driving experience, and he had no idea that you could even do that. And so we are getting people aware of the different things that are available out there and that you can do, and off-the-wall kind of things. And he's hoping that he might find out some more off-the-wall things by asking us our favorite event. And I'm thinking this can be anything from a marathon to an event party to a backstage tour or some kind of tour, or a flower and garden show. So be creative, Mouse Chatters, in what you think of. And we'll do this on a future podcast and talk about our favorite event. And I thank you, Adam, for calling me and speaking with me and sending me those nice words. We all appreciate it. Okay, that wraps it up for this week's show. We thank you, Pixie Vacations, for sponsoring this podcast. You can download any of our shows at mousechat.net, or you can do it at iTunes. You can send your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. If it's pretty good, you know what? I'm not going to tease you. If you send something, we'll probably read it on the Mouse Chat podcast. So go ahead and send something to us. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.